My last guest is not going to bring us, I think, much matters ecclesiastical. She's the renowned violinist Tamsin Little, who will be drenched in Delius for the next week. She's artistic director of the festival in his hometown of Bradford. And really, you're a Bradford girl too, so you've got a Delian streak in you.
I do, that's right. But it's really from the paternal side, because my dad was born in Bradford, and so I grew up with Delius as I was a growing young girl. And so he was just sort of part of the furniture, really. So it came as a bit of a shock when I realised that not everybody knew that much about Delius, and worse, not everybody wanted to.
Yeah, but it's very interesting. People say, goodness, Bradford. But I'm reading an article recently. Someone said they've got more listed buildings than almost any other city in Britain. And they have really a great sense of civic pride and are bringing them back to life.
Well, I think that this is borne out by the fact that there's a week-long festival celebrating Delius. And this is part of a huge year-long festival called Illuminate, which centres around five cities of Bradford, Leeds, Hull, Sheffield and York. And it's to celebrate the culture in Yorkshire.
Mm. Well, there you are, immersed in it all, and I know you've got a sort of Delius sort of top of the pops hit list, but we'll be hearing a lot of the concerts. In fact, all the concerts are going to be broadcast here on BBC Radio 3.
Yes, that's very exciting.
So people will be seeing a lot of Delius. So we're not playing anything tonight that people are going to hear next week, so probably not the really familiar things like the Walk to the Paradise Garden,
yes,
and,
exactly,
and things like that, which are marvellous. But there's the old shibboleth, I suppose, that Delius is this sort of dreamy person. I know you hate this idea that he's somehow a meandering mystic.
Yes, I really don't like that, because the fact of the matter was that he was an extremely charming, engaging young man who wrote a lot of very passionate music. And I think one of the reasons why people have got this image of Delius as a rather pathetic man is because of that fantastic film that Ken Russell made. But of course, it focuses only on the last few years of Delius's life, where he was in a wheelchair and blind and paralysed.
Well, we'll come back to Delius, the man and the musician, next. This is from Songs of Sunset. I think it's a setting of poems of Ernest Dowson. And it's Cease, Smiling Dear, Sarah Walker, Tom Allen, the Ambrosian Singers and the Royal Philharmonic, conducted by, of course, the man who helped Delius so intensely, Eric Fenby. See Smiling Deer from Songs of Sunset by Delia Sarah Walker, Thomas Allen, the Ambrosian Singers, and the Royal Philharmonic, conducted by Eric Fendi. Well, Tasman Little is the artistic director of Delia's Festival, taking place in his hometown of Bradford next week. Have you got much vocal music on offer?
No, sadly, the only vocal concert is actually going to be the Monday night. I would have loved to have had more orchestral concerts, but obviously in a week there's only so much you can cram in. So we've got two fabulous orchestral concerts. But we've got the Sea Drift, which is going to be this coming Saturday in the opening concert. And then the wonderful soprano Yvonne Kenny is going to be doing an evening of song and piano with Piers Lane. And they're going to be doing, in addition, of course, to Delia songs, they're going to be doing Ravel, and Piers is playing some Percy Grainger, and they're doing the Cantaloupe songs of the Auvergne. So quite a beautiful mixture.
Yeah, so you are mixing things. It's Delia's and friends.
Oh, it's very much Delia's and friends.
Delia's time.
Absolutely. Yes, I mean, basically, I've taken Delia's birth and death dates, 1862 to 1934, and it's everything that was happening at that point in time. And most of the repertoire has got a direct relevance to Delia's, but some of it is simply what was written at that point in time. For instance, Julian Lloyd Webber's coming on the Thursday to do the Delia's cello sonata and the wonderful Rachmaninoff cello sonata, one of my absolute favourites, such a stunning piece of music. And so, you know, it's composers who were all writing around about that time, and obviously Elgar and Grieg and Ravel.
Eric Fenby, of course, was conducting there. And without Eric Fenby, we probably wouldn't have had a great deal of the music. He was his amanuensis. It was an extraordinary thing for someone to do, to go and basically dedicate his life to taking down music, and especially when Delius got blind and was in a wheelchair, and to just put up with just about everything.
Absolutely. I mean, that fantastic Ken Russell film is really so superb, and I think it was so memorable that it isn't surprising that most people have that association when you say the word Delius, because, he was such an irascible old man, and, I suppose one can only think that it's because he must have felt incredibly helpless, having been this dashing, charismatic, virile young man, very sexy guy who could pull the girls. And, you know, there he was at the end of his life, completely helpless, literally relying on everybody to do everything, to feed him, to literally do everything for him. And so, of course, he was bad-tempered, but he was pretty awful to Eric Fenby, and Eric was nothing short of a saint.
Yeah. I think Saint Jude should be arriving shortly, maybe with a very special Eric Fenby award.
Well, we're going to be, actually, we're doing an Eric Fenby tribute on the Wednesday evening. We're going to show two films. We'll show Ken Russell's film, and I'm so thrilled that Ken Russell's actually coming up for that. And we're also going to show a documentary about Eric returning to Grey, and then we'll have a round-the-table chat and remembering some of the stories that we've all got about Eric.
Well, you're playing a lot too, of course, not just being administrative. I'm glad to see you soaking yourself in the music, and also letting your hair down occasionally too. I mean, I know you're doing a few improvisations with Wayne Marshall, so we thought we'd better reflect that. And this is you and John Lenithan with Chardash by Monty, but not quite the notes on the paper, is it?
Not at all. In fact, whenever we've played it in concert, the poor page turners practically had nightmares wondering where on earth we are, because what we play bears absolutely no resemblance to what they're seeing in front of them.
Monty Shardas with a few little extra notes just flung in. John Lennon at the piano, and of course Tasman Little, my guest and in tune, on the violin. And if you want to try that at home, I think you'd need to make an arrangement with your pianist. Basically, you wink when you're ready. That's what you said.
Like that.
Is that a musical term then?
Yes, yes, very technical.
So does he become a little anarchic when he's doing that? I mean, are there little sort of runs and riffs that almost catch you out?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm not averse to doing the same thing myself. So, no, I mean, in a piece like that, that's the whole fun of improvisation, is that you're taking a risk. And hopefully when you know each other quite well, it'll come off. And you might have the odd thing that didn't quite work. But I think most people in an audience would rather see an exciting performance where they're knowing that the performers are enjoying themselves, they're feeling comfortable and relaxed enough to take a few risks. And, you know, so what if one doesn't work out, then the other 60 will. So that's the whole point. You know, when you put on a CD, you know what you're going to get. You go to a live performance and, well, it's all up for grabs, isn't it?
Indeed. And that's exactly as it should be. And that comes across. I think that it does definitely come across, and people can feel it. If someone is giving a safe performance, or if they're just pushing themselves to the edge, to that danger zone, or potential danger zone. Do you feel that, or are you always absolutely confident when you step on the platform? You always look it.
Gosh, that's a very, very tricky question. I really love performing, and most of the excitement comes from seeing the audience, because, of course, they're the critical factor. When you perform in your living room and you've got everything ready, it's not at all the same thing as walking out on stage and seeing, you know, 3,000 or maybe in a recital just 500 faces. But that is what's making you push yourself to your limit. And it's very, very exciting, because you walk on stage, you're all prepared, and it's the feeling that you get that really inspires you.
Well, here you are as artistic director of the Delius Festival, making you sound very proper indeed. Not proper, a good performer, but not proper, I think is a good thing to say. You've been conducting a lot as well as playing. So is this just gently extending what you're doing? Would you like to do more festivals? Would you like to keep the sort of Delius connection going for longer?
Actually, I'm very, very interested in a couple of different areas which are extensions of what I already do. I have already put together a concert series for Leeds as well. And as far as the directing and playing is concerned, I'm doing some concerts with the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra later on in the year, where I will again be directing and playing. So, yes, I think this is something that, actually it didn't come from me. It was everybody else asking me if I would please do it. It wasn't, in fact, my suggestion. And at first I thought, oh, I don't know, you know, I'm a violinist and perhaps I should just stick to that. And then I thought, actually, no, come on, if everybody seems to want it, then I'll give it a go. And so far, everybody wants more. So I think you shouldn't fight things when new opportunities arise. I think it's good to give it a go. And, I mean, I've been performing now for a long time, and I've been watching other conductors, I've been working with other conductors, I've been gently directing things myself, Bach concertos, Vivaldi Four Seasons, things like that. And of course it's a natural progression then to take a more active role in that department. So yeah, it's something I'm enjoying very much. And of course I've been putting together recital programmes for a long time as well. And so putting together a festival is just an extension of that as well. So I wasn't frightened at all when I put it together, and I'm very excited about it now, because I think we've got an
I think you'd be too frightened about most things, I don't think. Tasman, great pleasure to have you with us. And we'll be hearing, of course, lots of Delius from the festival here on BBC Radio 3 next week, from the glory of the risen Bradford. And, of course, you've got those wonderful Hockney pictures just down the road too. Great museum, all sorts of things.
Absolutely.
To tempt people to Bradford. You won't hear this Légende by Delius. I don't think that's on the bill of fare this time round.
No, not this time round, but who knows, maybe there'll be another one.
Who knows the will. How would you describe this? This is you and John Lennon again.
The Légende is a very early work, and it's very heart on sleeve, very romantic stuff.
Tasman, great pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Sean. Thank you.
Early piece by Delius Legend, played by Tasman Little and John Lennon on piano. Well, Tasman Little, our guest on In Tune, is off to Bradford, where she's artistic director of the Delius Festival, and she'll be playing as well two big concerts with the BBC Philharmonic, with Ruben Gamba and David Atherton, and recitalists aplenty too, and we on Radio 3 will be broadcasting almost every evening of the festival next week. So that's the Delius Festival, starting in Bradford on the first day of July. July very nearly upon us.